We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
It's a peaceful protest. We walking. And that's it. Raising awareness. Some of the injustices that we've been seeing is not okay.
To keep, you know, George Floyd's name alive and keep it going and his legacy. And, you know, something has to change, and we're here trying to make a change.
We got to all come together and animals. We are human beings.
We have to understand that the black community is in real pain, struggling with lifetimes of unequal treatment and putting themselves out there to try and make a change. We're going to keep Boston safe, so that Boston continues to be a place where you can make your voices heard.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, fourth and final hour here in OMF Nowardway. It's Maloney and Foria, the MFers, and Mutt is in with us for his fourth hour here today on a Monday as we kind of try to regroup. Spent first hour talking about what happened over the weekend, not just across this country, but what happened here in the city of Boston last night. Tonight, 1,000 National Guard will be brought into the city. We're hearing that there's another protest, I believe, in West Roxbury. And stores now are being boarded up in West Roxbury.
It's supposed to be a vigil by the police station in West Roxbury, and I'm seeing a lot of businesses already closing up boards, everything.
So what we saw last night in the city, boys, the day protest, we saw guys like Jaylen Brown down in Atlanta. We saw Marcus Smart, you know, walking in the city. Steve Burton was talking to him during that protest. Ennis Kanter was in the house in his game jersey, but he was in the house as well. During the day, we saw peaceful protests, but like we've seen in all cities, at night, it's almost like the peaceful protesters went home and the people came out that were more about damage, destruction, opportunity, came out and destroyed, you know, tried to destroy the city last night. And I think there's a separation between the two. But still, last night was a disgrace in what happened in our city. Absolute disgrace.
Well, my takeaway, my big takeaway from it, and I don't know what your guys were, but mine was, here we are going into finishing up our third month of quarantine, giving up all these freedoms that we love and, you know, have been used to, and everyone's telling us to stay inside. And everyone's telling us we're almost there, we're almost done with it. And here we go having a protest. I just don't understand how that was even allowed. If you're telling me I got to sacrifice everything I have, lose money, people losing jobs, restaurants not opening, kids not going to school, graduations not happening, funerals not allowed to be held, marriages, anniversaries, you name it. Everything was shut down, and we're almost to the end. And here we go, and we have a protest. We have I don't know how many people were there. Nobody wearing masks. And even if they were, they constantly took it off. Nobody's social distancing. Everyone just hanging out like we didn't go through 3 months of quarantine. My question is, do we have to start all over again? And if we do, was it even worth it? To me, the protests should not have been allowed. Not that I'm insensitive, but you have a very important reason, the best reason you could ever come up with for not to have it.
All right, so how are you
We're
stopping?
We're in a pandemic.
You said this earlier. How do you want to stop freedom of speech? What would you like to do?
Guys, am I not going to die now?
What's that?
You told me 3 months ago I could die. Hospitals were going to be, we're hitting a peak. We got to flatten the curve.
You can still say that. Governor Baker could have said, you have a, if you
it's
go
too
protest
dangerous.
Tonight, you have a chance to you know, bring the virus back to your house and kill people in your house. It's dangerous. That's not going to stop people. People were still going to go. They know for 3 months, Christian. They still went. So I'm asking you, what would you have done? Gone up like full military in the streets? You can't do it.
That's what I would have said. Is so if you are shaming people to stay inside, you could have used the same tactic to shame people from not protesting. Guys, I'm mad also. Hold on, I'm mad also. But we cannot do this. We just spent 3 months. The shop owner. I want you to play this, Ryan. The shop owner who has been on TV and that has been everywhere, just pleading, and this will
Neil
break
Patel.
Your heart.
Neil Patel,
on the verge of tears after his business was looted after being shut down for 3 months.
I'm protecting my business, and they've robbed us after us being closed for 3 months. This is not anything you should be doing. This is not right. What are you trying to protect the cause? This is an excuse, nothing else. You're making an excuse. We got robbed. We're small business. We can't even pay rent.
But that's not the protest that we saw during the day. That's the violence and the exploitation at night.
It's hard to listen to Governor Baker earlier today at around 3:30 when we played him talking about, you know, opening up camps, 12 people or less in a group of kids, or youth sports, we're going to regulate it, maybe no more than 15 people on the field. This was Charlie Baker actually on Friday talking about what he was anticipating over the weekend as well as far as these protests go.
I've talked to local leaders in Massachusetts about this. I've talked to our own folks about it, and have basically said that if people choose to protest, you know, we need to make sure they have the ability to do that. We hope people protest peacefully. But honestly, it's a moment like that, an event like that. I can't imagine why people wouldn't want to get out in the streets and make a point about it.
Well, there is a reason why, Charlie. And you should have said that at least. You know what I mean? You can't just open up the streets after for 3 months, as Christian was talking about. Everyone's been able to stay home, forcing people to stay home and people to lose their businesses. Now, what would it have accomplished? I still think people would have been out in the streets. But would as many been out there? I don't know. Okay, because, you know, I remember like in Minneapolis when they just basically that first night said, you know, the governor or the mayor, whichever it was, pulled all the cops off the streets basically. And people were killing them. You know, former police commissioners in different cities in New York sat there and said, what you did by doing that is there's some people out there that wouldn't have caused destruction, but you've given them a pass. There are people out there that wouldn't have done it. You know, lighting buildings on fire. But because you basically took all the cops off the street, now those people all of a sudden have become violent as well. So if Charlie stood up there on Friday and said, listen, we're still in the middle of a pandemic. You know, the numbers are good, but, you know, this could spark something for the next month. Your people could be, you know, our economy could be closed forever. I mean, through the summer, into the fall. We still have to stay off the streets. It might have kept some people off the streets. Some. But it wouldn't have kept people, all people. They would have charged the streets no matter what, Christian.
No, okay, so fine. No so doubt. Fine, they no charged doubt. The streets no matter what. No doubt, fine. Okay, so where is the shame? Hey, do you guys realize what you just did? So I guess I get irritated because the whole time you can't go to the beach. You can't have a salon open. They're filling skate parks with sand. And they're arresting people for not listening. You go to stores, they openly shame you for not having a mask. You can't do anything in the city. And then when somebody did do something like that, they would get yelled at and screamed at, and just people hated them because everybody is following the rules. God forbid somebody go take a walk without a mask and they get shamed. My issue is, why isn't that brought up? Hey, guys, you realize what you just did? We just spent the last 3 months in our homes trying to flatten this curve, and we've canceled the parade, we've canceled the marathon, we've canceled all these things. Yet go ahead, don't worry about it. Exception to the rule, you're good. It's a pandemic, right? People are dying. So I would, my excuse, Mutt, to answer your question, would be the same excuse and the same reason people convinced us to stay inside. People are gonna die. And what happens when people die? Are you okay with people dying?
But the difference here is that they, as Governor Baker likes to say, it was a suggested stay at home. It was not a you have to stay at home. You can't do certain things, We don't have to stay home. We can still go to the grocery store, still go to certain places during the early weeks.
Well, they're still
even
at curfew, right?
Shut
I mean,
down.
Weren't they giving citations for people out two, three weeks ago beyond curfew in the city of Boston?
There's
still the curfew.
I don't know if they did last night. There were people out after 9 o'clock last night.
It's not voluntary. The curfew's not voluntary.
I'm not sure if the curfew was
The thing is annoying, like you said, like the leadership in this state talking about coronavirus and the stay-at-home order. And again, Baker starts off his press conference talking about coronavirus in phase one and phase two and camps opening, but only 12 kids and you know, don't have cookouts this weekend. And then says, you know what, I get it. You know, hey, you should be able to protest on the streets, thousands of people. It's guys like State Rep Mike Connolly. You guys remember this guy? So he's a state rep. It was East Cambridge, East Somerville. So back a couple weeks back, he was one of seven area politicians that wrote to Governor Baker begging for them to continue the lockdown because of the pandemic, begging them, saying it's too soon. You know, we're talking about lives and we're talking about people dying and we got to protect the citizens. Well, guess what he was doing Saturday? He was out in the streets walking. Mm-hmm. Or yesterday. I forget which day it was. But he was out on the streets walking with the protesters. This guy that 2 weeks ago was begging Governor Baker to continue to lock down the economy in this state was out marching with thousands of people. Like, that's the stuff that kind of pisses you off. I mean, honestly, you sit there and like, just falls on deaf ears. We're talking about the coronavirus now. We can't have more than 12 people hanging out. And there's thousands of people on the streets. Yeah, people like, this is a bunch of crap. I'm opening up now. I'm going to the beach. Screw you.
Exactly. Exactly. Because I guess my irritation is like, okay, so when there were people hanging out, every politician or a person of you know, some sort of credibility would come out and say we can't do that, and you're putting other people at risk. We're all in this together, but we're never going to flatten the curve. We're never going to get through this because you guys won't social distance. You won't stay away from each other. Well, there's thousands and thousands of people running around the street of Boston, which is a hotbed, which is a hot zone, and you've shut down everything, and you don't even address what the ramifications are for doing that. If the ramifications were bad for 12 people hanging out at a beach, what should the ramifications be and the danger be for those people who are at risk or aren't even at risk for a huge gathering? I thought we weren't doing gatherings. I thought we weren't doing any of them.
Well, we are.
You just canceled. You just canceled. You know, the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Well, how many months before it starts?
See, the protest during the day. You know, it's. I understand that. I don't think you were going to stop that. I'm not saying it's okay to have thousands of people on the streets. I don't think you're going to stop it peacefully. I get it. At night, that was a disgrace. You know, and you heard from that owner, Neil Patel, down there. I drove up and down Newbury Street on the way home, on the way to the office today, the studio, and it's all boarded up. And it's sad to see what happened last night in the city, because the people at night, they're not honoring the death of George Floyd.
Yeah, that's
they're not. Like, they're not at all. They're just destruction. It's just opportunity. And it's not just, you know, black people, it's white people. You see, how many videos have you seen? You know, you can talk about Antifa out on the streets. I've seen videos of white people, like, what was it, spray painting, I think, Starbucks. And two African-American women were screaming at them to stop, you know, and that, you know, don't do it this way. It's unbelievable. It's everybody. There's no color at night. It's all about destruction at night and going after police officers. You're talking about generalizing police officers. I mean, what happened in Minnesota was awful. Derek Chauvin, he's going to go to jail forever. The other three cops need to be arrested yesterday. That needed to happen. They, you know, you're going to get justice, hopefully, from these guys. I don't see Chauvin getting off at all. That's not going to happen. But to take it out on Boston PD or New York PD, like the lady that we're talking about, the sisters up in New York who threw the Molotov cocktail into the police van, they were arrested and charged with attempted murder. And when you go to court and you look at the judge and say, yeah, but George Floyd was killed, the judge is going to sit there and say, yeah, but that doesn't mean you can just try to kill police officers. Like, that doesn't give you the right to do that. It doesn't give you the right to bust out small businesses down Newbury Street have been shut down for 3 months, looking to reopen, but now can't because they got no inventory. You just took everything. Well, blowing up cars. Like, what are you doing?
The explanation I need is why the National Guard was so late to arrive and why they weren't prepared for that. Like, Christian's annoyed, and his annoyance is obviously the mixed message with coronavirus. We knew this was coming last night. We knew there was going to be some violence there, you know, whether it's 1%, 2%, whatever, there was going to be violence. Why were the businesses not protected? Why were there 18 civilians injured? Why were there 9 police officers injured? Why were there 33 in New York police vehicles destroyed? Where was the preparation for that? Where's the protection of the city once it was peaceful, as you guys are talking about, when it got to nighttime and you had 3 nights of evidence this was going to happen? Why was the state and the city so slow to react and protect people? Is there an answer for that tonight? Because my answer is they hoped it was like, oh, let's pray it goes well for us here. And instead of preparing, they prayed. And businesses like Mr. Patel's business and Saks and all those Newberry Street businesses that are destroyed today because they hoped things would go well instead of preparing for the worst, which makes no sense to me. I don't know.
I want you guys to hear real quick Terrence Floyd. He is the younger brother of George Floyd. He sat down, he talked to Robin Roberts, and he talked about what he has seen here this weekend.
He was about peace, he was about unity, but the things that's transpiring now, they may call it unity, but it's destructive unity. It's not what he was about. That's not what my brother was about. You know, he would motivate you to channel, if you're angry, it's okay to be angry, but channel your anger to do something positive or make a change another way. Because we've been down this road already. We've been down this road already. He would want us to seek justice the way we are, the way we're trying to do, but channel it another way. Channel it another way. The anger, ripping up your, you know, damaging your hometown is not the way he wants.
Again, that was Terrence Floyd, the younger brother of George Floyd. I saw him earlier, too, press conference on CNN, talking to a large crowd. And again, what happened during the day is not what happened at night. Those are two different groups, two different protests. I don't even want to call it night of protest. That's just destruction. And as you pointed out, Mutt, 1,000, National Guard coming in tonight. West Roxbury already boarding up stores, storefronts.
Good, they're getting ahead
more
of it
protected
tonight.
Today.
Should have been last night.
Yeah, things going on Friday, and Saturday.
Usually,
we knew protests were going to happen yesterday, today, and Tuesday.
Catch by surprise.
No, exactly, Mutt. I was going to say, everything will be fine today, tonight. There won't be any issues because I do think you caught them sleeping. You kind of took advantage of the situation because your opportunity, they're not prepared. They haven't assembled yet, and they don't really know how bad the situation is. Now they're ready. It's always, after the major riot is over, then they bring the National Guard in. And it's like, now everybody's, we're kind of done. We're over it now.
We saw it in Minnesota, and I'm hopeful for a couple things tonight. On my list tonight is take the Twitter machine away from our president. Take the Twitter machine away from President Trump, because this morning, in the aftermath of one of the worst weekends of his presidency, he's tweeting about ratings and tweeting about Joe Biden, and just completely tone deaf on that medium. Someone needs to take that away and say you are better off not saying anything because he's not helping.
You said his name was Brendan.
Yes, Brendan.
No, I agree. He needs to just right
take
now.
Take the tweets away, man.
He needs to, again, just presidential a little bit. That's all. Just act presidential somewhat. You know, the country right now is out of control. Just don't take this as an opportunity to talk about your ratings, fake news, anything else that's on your agenda right now. You need to deal with this right now.
Pretty good Saturday at the SpaceX launch when he spoke. I thought he was pretty good. And then the tweet storm Sunday into Monday, just right back to square one.
I want to go to the phone calls real quick. 617-779-7937. I want to go to Brian in Providence. Brian, go ahead, pal. You're on OMF.
Hey, guys. I am totally on board with what you both are saying this afternoon. You are spot on. More than any other syndicate talk shows on any other station. And so was Floyd's brother. Floyd's brother actually took almost the words out of my mouth. This is destruction. And where we all should be being positive, you know, like about things and try to be positive. And looting and burning down properties in your own neighborhood is not the solution, because now where do you have to go to buy something? You got nowhere to go, except now you have to go out of town. And probably those other towns have probably been like a little bit, you know, sabotaged too. And it just seems like every time something like this happens, and I am not a condoner of police brutality, and I'm not a racist, but it seems like the black community always tends to go to looting and rioting and it's not the right thing. And Floyd's brother,
Brian, did you? How about all the white people last night that were taking this? These left wing Antifa groups that were the guy
trying
in DC
to escalate it.
who was taking a hammer and trying to crack a concrete to create bricks to throw at police officers, and it was the black protesters who stopped him so police could arrest him. I understand that everyone's upset. It is not just one color that was violent last night.
No,
come
Brian, don't you? I mean, you got to turn the TV on.
You
Brian.
Did say that. Exactly what you said.
It's everybody.
I said it was escalated by it, though. And if people don't put themselves in black or white, if they don't put themselves in bad predicaments, then this stuff will not happen. Like this guy was passing a phony $20 bill. He was called on. In the past, Brian,
you got to listen. Brian, listen. Hey, thanks for the call, but I mean,
Jesus
I'm not going to.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, it was a fake $20 bill. Okay, does that mean that he deserved to be lying on the ground with the cop's neck, a knee on his neck for almost 9 minutes? He was controlled. There were other cops there. There was nothing going on. Please don't try to justify that. Not here, because it's not going to happen. That guy needs to go to jail forever. Okay, in the peaceful protest, I don't think they escalated anything. It's the people that just sit there and say, okay, tonight's a great opportunity, okay, to burn down a city. Let's all put our hands in together on three. Ready, go. And they go out and they escalate everything, okay, white and black, everything. Turn on the TV. Turn it on. It's not one color, okay? It's everybody. At night.
Oh, whoa, hello. All right,
let's go to Jeff, who's in Rhode Island. Jeff, go ahead. You're on OMF.
How's it going?
What's up, Jeff?
Good. Hey, you know, about last night, I mean, my problem with all this is we've been under a pandemic for the last 3 months where we can't go anywhere, do anything, and all of a sudden you're allowing, I know it's supposed to be a peaceful protest and all that, but what happened last night, I mean, and like I think you said, Luke, it's not a color, it's just, I mean,
destruction.
It's destruction, and it's by everybody who's there. My thing is that where, like, they've seen this play out the last few nights in other cities.
Yep.
Like, why weren't they prepared? And I mean, I know where they have to really go at this point is you've got to get your arms wrapped around this some way. And I mean, I don't know if I think myself. I think bringing in the military, getting them out on the streets and supporting the local police, state police, and whatever is what's needed. But, I mean, also like what Christian said a few moments ago, we've been locked down. We haven't been able to do anything. And, I mean, it seems like everyone's just saying, oh, you know what, it's fine. Like, we're not expecting something to happen when we've been seeing it for the last few nights that it is happening. And to destroy your own community, like, what are you benefiting from it? You're not helping. If anything, you're more of a part of the problem, and you're just being a bad role model for the future generations, every race, not just one.
Here's the thing, Jeff. The people at night, they're not trying to be role models. You know, people during the day, they are. At night, they just want destruction. You know, you saw it in Minneapolis, you know, when attacking the small businesses right there in downtown, the Targets. You know, where people, you know, work in their community, work at the Target. They own some of these small businesses right there in the community where they go shopping, right there in their own community. They made it, making it harder for that community to come back now. You know, in phase one, phase two, phase three, whatever state you're in, whatever phase you're in, it's not making it easier. It's making it harder. During the day, okay, I understand. At night, nobody will understand that.
And the answer is military is one, but two is prosecuting those that you are able to use facial recognition and other, you know, forms of pictures to find out who they are. For example, you guys saw in Nashville, some guy set fire to Legendary Courthouse. The SWAT team found out who he was. They went to his house and arrested him. So you need
that to
see those stories reported to make sure people know you're not going to run into a store and loot or start a fire and not get punished for it.
And I the guys that do stuff like that, it's just when you really think about it, again, you're looting, you want to blow things up, you want to, you know, break things, you want to act out. It's almost like one big giant massive tantrum. in a way. I say that, I don't mean to be insensitive, but that's the only phrase I could come up with it. Because like, when I know, when my kids, especially when they were younger, if they felt like they couldn't get their point across, if they felt like they weren't heard, or if they didn't get the last popsicle, there's multiple situations there, it would act out. That I want your attention. You look at me. Pay attention to what's going on. And it always just boggles my mind that, okay, so after you blow off steam, then what? Now what? Now, when you wake up in the morning and you know there's all this rubble and ash, what are you doing? What have you really accomplished? I was pissed. Okay, my bad. Go, am I supposed to allow you to blow up and tear down buildings every time you're pissed off and angry?
You know, I agree. I don't know, because we saw this, you know, 6 years ago. We've seen it before. Unfortunately, probably see it again, you know, at some point, because there's always going to be some bad cop or some racist driving down the road or there is. And I saw one video on Twitter where it was like a 46-year-old man, a 30-year-old man, a 15-year-old kid, and the 30-year-old was pleading to the 15-year-old kid that his generation needs to find a better way. Because he's like, you know, I was right here in this same spot 6 years ago. I'll be probably right here in this same spot 3, 4, 5, 6 years from now. You know, there's got to be a better way, because, you know, the protests on the street, more importantly, the riots at night, it's not getting it done. So are we moving in the right direction? What do we need to do to move in the right direction? What do we need to do? Because I don't know. I'd like to know. I'd like to fix all of this, but I think that there's racists in this country. I think there's going to be a bad cop. I hate that we generalize all cops. I know a lot of cops. I don't like seeing their life in danger going to work in Boston. And we're taking it out on that guy because of what one bad cop in Minnesota did, Minneapolis. So now we're going to act like that's the guy that had his knee on the back of George Floyd's neck. So we're going to take it out on him because of one bad cop. There'll be another bad cop. Maybe it'll be in Phoenix, Arizona. So what do we do? Do we go through all these cops and get rid of them or some of the bad ones? How do we determine that? So I worry that we're going to be in the same spot again, even though we're trying to move forward. We're trying to do the right things. We're trying to teach our kids the right way. But there's always going to be someone bad out there going the other direction. So I know these riots, they just, what does it change? The riots at night,
well,
nothing.
Even the protests, unfortunately, we talked about this earlier with the L.A. riots. Christian, you talked about them. I mean, what has changed from those? I mean, I there's no evidence long-term. It's been a major turning point for the country as far as race relations go. Those protests, either in recent times, you know, both you know, the both deadly and both safe, like we saw, you know, both those yesterday. What has it changed here in the last, you know, 30, 40 years?
I just tell you what, it's you know, we talk about stars, things that stars and actors and singers are doing, and there's the J.R. Smith, him just beating the crap out of some dude that was messing with his car, and then there's John Jones. Just flat out just punking some kid, like a dad showing up at a party and grabbing some kid by the collar, taking his spray paint can away from him. And the kid just walking away dejected, having no recourse because it's John Jones and he will kill you.
Yeah. Maybe you don't realize who it is.
Chuck Liddell is in the streets too.
Yeah, Chuck Liddell, another one. All right, listen, we got to go to break here real quick. We'll continue this conversation. 617-779-7937. How'd you feel about what you saw last night in the city? And we have a little bit of movement, a quick response possibly from Major League Baseball's owners to the players. Ooh. You'll hear about that in Trending next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is
self-destruction. What we got here, Chris? Like your call right there, a little self-destruction.
What do you mean? It wasn't my call. I mean, listen, you know, I'm trying to stay current and, you know, make sure the music kind of
goes with
what we're doing.
You're trying to stay current, so you told me to come back with a rap song that peaked in 1989.
It has nothing to do when it came out. It's the message. It's this. Here's the thing. Right. What they were talking about is the same thing we're talking about today.
Yeah.
As Mutt does the wave on Zoom. It's the same thing.
Also very topical and relevant.
I'm just saying, it doesn't, whether it's 1988, 2020, that song was written for the same reasons people are rioting today. That's all. I mean, it's the same thing. Now someone's going to come and be like, no, it's just, if you look at this and this, no. It's the same thing. So, you can play We Are the World.
No, you know, I'm yeah.
No, good. I like this better than We Are the World.
I want to play for you guys. I don't know if you saw it or not, but Marcus Spears is on Get Up this morning, and he kind of got really emotional in talking about it. And I'm not going to pretend, you know, growing up, you know, black man in this country, none of that stuff, right? But this was Marcus Spears talking about what it was like trying to describe what happened with George Floyd to his kid.
This is the anger and the frustration that's coming out now. When we watch George Floyd be choked out, this spirit broke in this country. It broke. It broke me because my 11-year-old son
It's okay, Marcus. Take a moment.
Thanks, Greeny.
Dramatic Greeny.
Do you need a minute? Do you need a moment? Okay, take a moment.
No, I got it, G.
Okay.
My son had to ask me, why didn't he get off of him? Stephen A. is a guy that has mentored me. G, you a guy that has mentored me. And everything that I've done in my life culminated to me having my children and trying to give them a better situation. When we're black and we're athletes, to the man, the fight is to get your family in a better situation, because something about the system in this country has told us that if you make it and you make a certain amount of money and you accept it in these circles where we know we would normally have an opportunity to be in because of our talent, that's what we strive for.
Again, that was Marcus Spears on Get Up, talking about having that conversation with his kid. And I've seen it throughout the TV the last few nights, you know, seeing fathers talking about, you know, that talk they have with their kid. And I think one father was saying, you know, it was right before your child gets his license, you know, and wanting him to be prepared, to, you know, if this happens or that happens, and just, you know, how to handle it, how to handle police officers. I don't go through that. I mean, I have that discussion with my kid, you know, when he gets old enough, talking about how to deal with authority. So, I'm not going to pretend to know what that was like. But all I know is what I saw in Boston last night, what I've seen in cities at night throughout, I don't think has anything to do with what happened to George Floyd. I think during the days, I get it. But at night, that's just about destruction. And again, it's not just, you know, black people out in the streets.
See that?
White people out in the streets just looking to escalate things even further. Self-destruction, Christian.
Listen, you hit it. You made me think of it. That's
you walked
why.
Him into it.
That's your fault. Ryan's sitting there going, I'm not playing this song.
I didn't say I was going to play it. I just said I feel like your life culturally ended in 1987. Every single reference you make from the 80s. I can't play this riff.
There's no guitar in this thing.
Why are we back with this?
Why is Ryan sound like a big
guy? Why am I bored right now?
let's go to the phone calls here. Let's go to Jim in the car. Jim, go ahead. You're on OMF.
Yeah, hi, Lou. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Listen, the thing I was wondering about, you made a very interesting point in my mind, talking about how the folks in the evening are not there for a peaceful protest, but for the sake of destruction.
Yeah.
And my question is, I'm curious your opinion, what's motivating that desire for destruction? Obviously, some of them are just trying to line their pockets with ill-gotten goods. But what about that whole idea of just destruction in itself? What's driving that, you think, for them?
I just think a lot of it's opportunity, a lot of it's anger. You know, I see a lot of, you know, like I said, white kids look like they're early 20s. I don't know what are they burning buildings for?
Exactly. That's my question. I mean, you know, because it's not just in that case a racial thing, and it's not about, you know, justice for the horrific event that occurred, you know, but what's driving that desire for destruction? I was curious, again, what you think about that. You know, there's got to be something behind that anger. You know, I don't think it's just, I guess in some psychopathic characters, destruction for the sake of destruction is one thing. But I think for some of these, it's a more organized, you know, goal in mind.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some groups out there that are using this opportunity to channel the anger, and the overwhelming goal is to try to create more of a chaos. And I heard Wiggy say it a lot of times today with Dale and Keith, that he understands it. Like, he understands the looting. He understands the violence. He understands the breaking down. And not just short of condoning it. And I said, I just don't. I don't. There, to me, no matter how angry you get, you know, burning down your neighborhood and for the people that are doing it that way versus, like, the people that are just trying to do it to do it.
Well, I mean, you're out there.
I don't get it.
Causing destruction, windows are broken, and you're running into a store stealing jewelry. Is that because of what happened to George Floyd?
Yeah, how does that help his memory?
So I want you to listen to, because this was CNN's Sarah Sidney, and she discussed, you know, basically, you know, kind of trying to justify what went on here at nighttime throughout the country.
I know people see violence and think that people are just taking advantage of the situation, and there may be some people who are. I don't know that every single person is doing this born out of pain, but I can tell you many people are. We've seen it. They don't know what to do with that emotion, so their response, especially young folks, is to lash out. And one of the young folks, we talked to him on your show. You had him on your show. A young man who is from Minneapolis who said, "Do you see all this damage here? You don't listen to us when we speak, so you listen to us now, don't you?" So acting out gets attention. And they know that because the other way hasn't gotten them the attention. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't changed anything. So they're hoping this will. Will it? I don't know. I was in Ferguson in 2014 for 3 months. We're back here again. Same scenario, just about. There wasn't a gun involved. There was a knee involved.
That was CNN Sarah Sidney. She was on with Chris Cuomo. You know, those young people she's talking about. I mean, again, I've seen many videos with, you know, older, black men in their 40s saying that this isn't the answer. What's going on at night isn't the answer. You know, and she's talking about, what, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids out in the streets? Looting and lighting things on fire. Their voices haven't been heard. You know, a lot of the guys that I've seen that are 40 years old, they're talking about other ways. What happened during the day, fine. At night, they don't condone that. They don't want any part of that. So I don't know. It sounds to me like she's kind of justifying what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing some awful, awful things at night. I don't know how you could justify that.
Yeah, she definitely is trying to do that. Do you guys think social media has been fueling part of this? Because I do. I think some of the younger generations grown up with social media, you know, is not upset seeing themselves and seeing the destruction they are a part of. They want to be a part of something, want to be a part of a movement. And they believe at some level that they think the destruction is a movement. And then they see the tweets about, they see, you know, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 likes and retweets. And I believe social media, Twitter especially, fuels a lot of this stuff that we've seen the last 3 or 4 nights. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like there's this bat signal that goes up to, this is what we're doing today. Okay, here's the TikToks that you need to watch. Here's the music video. Here's the YouTuber that you need to follow. Here's the skins that you need if you're playing Fortnite. I mean, I get it. It just,
yeah.
I do see some.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like we've been focusing on not necessarily the negatives, but just there are a lot of good things that come out of this. You know, a lot of bravery, you know, people who stand up and bring clarity to the situation, and just I think, you know, but do a good job of just, I guess, conveying the right message. And I just don't feel like you hear that enough.
Well, I was going to point out that I don't know if you saw this or not, but the New York mayor, Bill de Blasio,
yep,
his daughter was arrested. And he came out and said that he was proud of his daughter's arrest and admires that she was out there doing something. His daughter was arrested in New York City. And he was proud
of
her.
Was she socially distancing?
Yeah, what was the... Do we know the details on the arrest?
He said she was protesting peacefully, but then why would he be proud of that? That would... Basically tell you there's a problem with the police department then.
I just...
I have seen videos of people protesting peacefully. I saw one guy standing with a crowd, and the cops were lined up, and he was just giving his opinion. He made a lot of sense, and a cop just walked over and arrested him, and the crowd was going nuts. So I've seen that. So I don't know the details of his daughter being arrested. And if a peaceful protest arrest, fine. If she's out at night and got arrested because, you know, again, I don't know. Was it peaceful? Okay.
Yeah.
Was she doing something to police officers?
She was blocking traffic on Broadway.
Okay, guys.
She was blocking traffic on Broadway?
On Broadway, yes.
Just call me a little old lady, mm-hmm. okay? Because okay. everyone keeps okay. telling
little
me,
lady.
What about the children and COVID-19?
Here we go.
What about the children and social distancing? What happened? So here's Mayor de Blasio, who's been beating the drum about social distancing and staying inside over and over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, after in March, he told people to go out and go to movies. No big deal. That's fine. Go out there. No problem. Now
yeah, it's so.
Go ahead, sir.
And now it's okay. It's if the coronavirus never happened, like the last 3 months never happened because I would have been. Listen, we're not supposed to be outside. We're in phase one. I just feel like. That is such an afterthought now. And it's just so crazy that the last 3 months, every single news station has led with the deaths and the this and the that and the respirators and the PPEs and the everything.
How many lives are you willing to
lose? How many lives are you willing? What happens when?
How many deaths are okay with you?
Yeah, it's like, okay, it seems like a lot because based on the information and knowledge of that was being told to me, last week, that's going to create a spike. More people are going to die. And if you do that, you must be okay with people dying. Or this is the one exception to the rule. I don't mean to like downplay the seriousness of this, but I thought we were in a pretty serious economical and just mental issue as of right now.
I do wonder with, you know, basically... You know, Walsh and Baker sitting there saying, hey, yeah, go out in the streets and protest privately or peacefully. I do wonder some of those small businesses that have been dying and trying to get back to work don't sit there and say, what am I doing here? You know, like, why am I still closed? Screw it. You know, like, what are we doing? Like, if we're sitting there allowing thousands of people out in the streets, I've been closed for months. I'm waiting to open up. And I think I could have been open for the last month, but you keep holding me out, throwing data, throwing numbers, throwing this, throwing everything. And then you sit there on a Friday and say, hey, I see no reason why people shouldn't be out in the streets protesting. It's like, excuse me. Is there a consistent message going on here or no?
No.
What are we
there's
doing?
Not been, since day one, there's not been one, locally or nationally on this thing, guys. It's been the biggest issue a lot of us have had is the inconsistent messaging with all this crap.
Yeah.
It's happened.
I just
the
can't believe this. I just can't. In the end, I think we're going to look back on this and the coronavirus and just recognize how unbelievably bad we navigated through this. It's amazing to me. It's just, it doesn't matter anymore.
All right, let me
it's
go.
Not, it's not the lead story
I
anymore.
I want to take a phone call real quick. Let's go to Rocco down the Cape. Rocco, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, bro?
How are you doing, pal? Go ahead.
Good. I lived through the riots. In L.A., I'm 55 years old. I was down there with my mom, my dad, and my three brothers. And you know what the biggest thing I remember? As I remember, we were sitting in the living room watching the riots. And I remember asking my mom and dad, why are they beating up the businesses? Why are these people, why are they rioting? to the businesses. Why are they killing all the businesses? The breaking in all this stuff, the killing all this business. Their town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm watching, and it's like Reggie Jennings gets pulled out of this truck. All he's trying to do is get his truck home. And they pull him out, and they beat him down like a dog. And I'm asking Mom and Dad, I'm like, what's this going to fix? Ma, you know, Dad, what's this going to fix? Does this solve anything? They're like, no, it doesn't. It's not going to solve anything. It's just doing it. And it's, I remember watching, it's like black people, white people, everybody just beating up these businesses.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Rocco.
I don't think a lot of people get what we saw last night.
Well, I mean, I would also say that if you're not black, maybe you don't have the ability to get it. If you're not a person of color, then maybe you don't get it, and you never will get it. You know, Wiggy talked about it a little bit today, but he's not the only person that, you know, deals with those types of situations and then the stigma that is attached to you, you know,
mm-hmm.
White or black, you know, especially black, you know, based on just your general observations of a person and then the perception that you create in your mind of what that person is and what they're capable of doing.
All right, listen, I know we spent all day with this. The other topic we talked about was baseball, and something new just kind of popped up here. This was Jeff Passan. He's actually on ESPN, and he talked about this new development right now.
What's happening right now is Major League Baseball saw the 114-game proposal that the Players Association had and said, this is not going to work. What they are willing to do at this point, though, is go to a full pro rata over a shorter season. Now, the length of the season is going to be really difficult for the players to accept. It's going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 60 games. But the issue here is that Major League Baseball is moving a little bit toward the middle, along with the players trying to as well. For the longest time, really since the end of March when this agreement was put into place, players have been asking for their full pro rata salary. A 50-something game season Major League Baseball would be willing to do to get them there.
Ooh, prediction time from me. So here's what happens. So 114, they have 114, full prorated. Baseball comes back with 50. Now the players will come back with 80. We get 80 games, full prorated, plus the playoffs, done deal. Like I tried to tell you.
That was the original offer from the union. They want no part of that. 82 games, full prorated. They want no part of it. So, I mean, to me, it's 50 games, 60 games, because they want to hurry up and get to a postseason, whether it's like mid-September instead of early October. They want to make sure they get this postseason in. And what it does is, you know, for a player like, let's say, the big-name players, right, $36 million, basically 50, 60 games, call it, so let's say a third of a season, you'll make a third of your pay. So you'd be making $12 million. A guy like Trout was going to make six. I still think there's a middle ground here. I like that. I feel like there has been some movement. Yep. I still feel like there's a middle ground, maybe a lower percentage. You know, because right now, I mean, Trout, listen, he's still making 33%, but it's only going to be 50, 60 games. I don't know. I like the movement. I'm surprised. I'm glad it took, you know, less than whatever, 24 hours to see some kind of comeback from the owners. And hopefully now the players can kind of come back tomorrow. We can get this thing done in the next few days. So I think it's a move in the right direction. All right, listen, we come back. We got Last Call. That's coming up next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
No, I'll let it go.
I'm letting you go. Good.
Last Call.
You know, it's really about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not stretch like come.
When'd you get a f***ing in?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All right, Last Call is brought to you for Cars, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Now would be a great time to clean out your garage and donate that old car to Cars for Kids. Now offering contact-free pickup. Call today at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or online at carsforkids.com. All right, I'm doing the show here from Brighton, live from our Shaw's and Star Market WEEI studio. I don't know if you guys saw the video or not on Twitter. I just saw this man beating down another man by a car. Didn't quite understand what was going on with that one until I saw J.R. Smith's Twitter account, or I think it was an Instagram or just Twitter account, explaining it all. And this was J.R. Smith about what happened.
It was so much love, and it seemed like so many people were unified at the time. And then, you know, you get to the scenes where you see people burning cars down, breaking in stores. And it's just like, bro, like, I'm not for this. Like, this is not what it's about. This is not what it's for. Like, you know, you want to peacefully protest? 100%, we can do that. But once you get to vandalizing people's personal property that has nothing to do with nothing, I'm the only black guy on my block. So for you to randomly just thinking you're doing something for the people, that one black person who was able to get out the situation and move into a nice neighborhood and do all of those things that we aspire to do, you broke that person's window without even knowing. It was just a random act of stupidness, and I give him that. But that ass whooping was a random act of stupidness on my behalf.
That was J.R. Smith. He put out a tweet explaining what had happened. Apparently a white dude broke his window, his car window. And he chased him down and whooped his ass. So he was just explaining it in case you got the wrong impression of what exactly happened. So that was J.R. Smith explaining the whole situation.
I tell you, it's almost like a free pass for no lawsuits.
Yeah, he broke his
property. Right now, people have had to. The guy, the Rochester, New York, those business owners, this elderly couple that got their asses kicked.
Yeah, I saw that one, too.
Out there on the street, the guy who showed up with a shotgun, the same city protecting his business.
It's from Ray Lewis. What is Ray Lewis?
He's got a new podcast, right?
Wait, I want you guys to hear J.L. Colvin first here, because you know, the impersonator, Donald Trump impersonator, he actually called in one time on the show as Donald Trump.
Paternity, and you know, I've heard it before, so we'll look into it. We'll look into this.
So J.L. Colvin went on Twitter, which he has been, and as President Donald Trump addressed the country for the first time here.
I was out golfing this morning, as you can probably tell from the white MAGA hat, and it was a great day golfing because, as you know, we're doing a lot less social distancing because we've defeated the COVID, the invisible enemy, theme park, trademark coming. And then I get a call, okay? And they tell me, I'm like 9 holes into the golf, and they tell me numerous Democrat cities are like in flames and having nasty protests. And none of our great MAGA cities, by the way, you won't report that. But there are Trump people who live in these Democrat cities as well, so we can't just abandon them. So I played 2 more holes, but I didn't do the full 18, okay, because I said I got to get to something. And I get back to the office behind the Resolute desk, okay, very strong piece of furniture. Mm. I get back there, and, you know, they're telling me that lots of people, Antifa is attacking, we know that. Queen Latifah also possibly on the list of people doing some of this nasty stuff. And they tell me that the Cheesecake Factory has been looted, that they're looting the Cheesecake Factory. Mike, you love the Cheesecake. You're one of the biggest fans. You love it when they bring the big loaves of the brown bread, right? You call it the BBB. He calls it the Big Brown Bread. The Cheesecake Factory is one of our great industries. It combines so many great American things. Factory, our great factory workers, who, by the way, they love Trump, you know that. But also cheese, Wisconsin, one of our great Trump states. And cake, we all love cake. It's a great, like, one of the... Cheesecake Factory is as American as the Bald Eagle or, like, apple cake pie. It's so American. So we've got to protect our cheesecake industry, okay? And it's very personal to me, because when I would attend Jeff Epstein parties, who, by the way, such a talented guy, he has a new Netflix series, and he's dead. It's a lot of talent. But he would order from the kids' menu for his parties, from the Cheesecake Factory.
I don't know if those jokes went over very well, but that's all right. It's J.L. Coven posing as the president. But that'll do with it today. That's it. We're done.
Thanks, Mutt.
Yeah, thanks, Mutt. Appreciate it. Big O.
As always, thanks for having me.
Big O should be in tomorrow. So OMF is back at it tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
He's going to have the cure to everything.
I believe you got Mark James, Andy Hart here coming at you next. So enjoy that, and we will see you guys tomorrow.
Later, boys.
Later.
I am absolutely done with this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.